All right, if you've got your Bibles, go to that letter written by Peter. When we started looking at this, at least my intent was, I wanted to hear from somebody who knew Jesus. I wanted to hear from somebody who'd had a pretty up and down, rough walk with Jesus. Tell me, how do you get through a day? There are wonderful, majestic, soul-stirring, God-inspiring theologies, truths, doctrines, and scriptures. Man, everyone that I've ever heard of, I love. But sometimes I need somebody to take me by the hand and say, all right, now Rex, here's what you got to do today to get through this day. That's the kind of life I live, is I need that kind of help. So we just started reading this letter that Peter wrote to folks just like us, folks that were strangers, and there's nobody stranger than y'all, strangers and aliens in the world. That's us. And it's no wonder we don't fit in. It's no wonder it feels awkward for us sometimes. No wonder people don't look at us like we think they should all the time, because we are strangers. We're aliens to them. Well, he wrote this letter to folks like us to help us get through the day. Now, he is going to bring up a subject in chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And we're going to read the first 7 verses, okay? And he's going to bring up a topic, a relationship that is, can be. Let me put it, can be. Is for many of us, can be for some of us, heaven on earth. The relationship between a husband and wife God created in Eden. And what was Eden like? Back there in the old days, what was Eden like? It's perfect. There was no sin. There was no shame. There was no bitterness. No weeds. No pain in childbearing, those kind of things. There were none of those things. Now, he didn't introduce husband and wife. He didn't introduce that relationship to foul up paradise. It was to enhance it. It was a part of it, right? Now, in this room, though, are people whose lives have been... distracted is an easy word. A shallow word, damaged is a maybe more accurate word, have been damaged in a marriage type relationship. Sometimes it's by their sin or the sin of the other mate, of the other person, the partner, the mate. There are people in this room that when you talk about marriage, man, think it is the best thing in the history of the world. Man, angels sing. Stars suddenly appear every time you are near. I mean, who sang that?
Carpenters.
And I started to break out in song, but it's on tape, and I didn't want to do that. And there's other folks in here that the thought of being married almost makes them angry, resentful, bitter, claustrophobic, anxious, because of the experience of the past. What we're going to look at here, we're not going to look in these words to condemn anybody. We're going to look in these words to learn. For those of us who are married, these are instructions for how we should act right now. For those who are not married, who one day think there's a possibility that they may get married, then develop these characteristics in your life right now. Because I promise you, after the I do is said, you are expected to show some of these, right? And for those of you who are dead set, certain, shake your fist in a vow before God that you will never get married, be careful. God hears that, and you may pay. Never say never. That's right. All right, let's read them, and let's learn together. Wives, in the same way. Now, we can't go on. We cannot go on until you tell me what the phrase "in the same way" meant. Why did he put "in the same way" in that sentence? Wives, in the same way.
Slaves, right?
All right, and right before it, he was going through that whole business about, you know, abstain from sinful desires, live good lives, submit to your master, submit to authority. But right before he got to 3:1, he mentioned walking in the steps of Jesus. And if you want to know how to submit to an authority, you watch Jesus. You slip in His footsteps and walk in His footsteps, and you'll know how. You want to know how to submit to a boss, or and in their case, a slave master that was harsh. You watch Jesus. You watch Him slip into His footsteps, walk in His footsteps, and you will find. I keep saying slip into His. You don't want to. You're going to slip and slide, but I mean walk. Walk in His footsteps, and you'll learn how to do that. Now, we always do it right. No, but if my motivation, if my direction is walking in the steps of Jesus, I may make mistakes, but I won't be far wrong, right? So he says to the women, wives, in the same way. What he's trying to tell us is, ladies, walk in the steps of Jesus. Walk in the steps of Jesus. Be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Now stop a second. I want to go back to the phrase, be submissive. Okay. I am. I've lived long enough, I guess, to be aware of how preaching has changed in this area. When I was a kid, and the old preacher that banged on the pulpit and got red in the face and wore the tie so tight you could see his veins popping out on his head, and he would be preaching hell, fire, and damnation. When he preached a lesson about the wives submitting, what was the thought? Honest. Those of you who are old enough to remember that, there was almost a be seen, not heard kind of thing. I do know of a particular religious group, know it for real, a particular religious group that was so insistent that submissive meant that they would not even allow their wives to speak to them at home unless they were first spoken to. Now, okay. Then, as I grew up, we had the hippie days come along, and I see you guys now wearing things that are... I see people doing tie-dye and pays and all that stuff. I remember when it first happened, and couldn't figure out why those people buy that clothes with those ugly colors on it, or that their mama dyed the wrong stuff. Anyway, we went through the hippie days, and it went the other way, and it turned into Equal Rights Amendment, the women's movement. And what did the preaching take on then?
Peace, love, and harmony.
Submission doesn't mean submission. You are equal rights. You are equal partner. You say you what you want to say when you want to say it. You don't let some man tell you. And it would go, anytime you start acting and reacting, what do you get? Extreme. John.
The last couple of ceremonies I performed in Tennessee, they would not even use the word obey.
No. I know a lot of people. A lot of people who didn't want to obey in their marriage vows. Okay, now, I want you to notice, what was directing that those definitions? What was directing those descriptions of the word submissive? Emotional, peer pressure. It was basically the political climate of our day is what was affecting our understanding of these verses. What did he just tell, ladies? What did he just tell you should direct your understanding of these verses? Jesus. You walk like Jesus, and you'll get it. Does that mean that everybody will agree with your approach? Real close. Does that mean that everybody will agree with your approach? Did everybody agree with Jesus' approach?
No.
So when you submit and you serve, you walk like Jesus, there are going to be people that do not agree with you. Were there people who thought Jesus was too strict? Yes. Were there people who thought Jesus was too liberal? Yes. It's the way that when you're walking in the steps of Jesus, there are going to be people that are going to criticize you on either side. You do not let political or philosophical stuff make your decision here. And you don't even let personal preference. You let Jesus make that decision. Wives, be like Jesus. Be submissive to your husbands. Now, what's the intent? Now, in this verse, he's already said be like Jesus. That settles it. But he gives a secondary, something serendipitous, I guess, an intention to this submission. What is it? Look at this. If your husband does not believe the word, then he can be won over without words. Okay, now, real quick. What is the picture you get here? What would some woman who is a Christian do to get her husband to become a Christian? Why don't you become a Christian? I think it's time for you to become a Christian. If you don't become a Christian, I'm not going to cook for you. Right? How does that work? How does that work? This is a man that won't even let you touch the remote. You think he's going to let you talk him into his soul salvation? Not a chance. He said, but you submit, be like Jesus to them, so that they may be won over without words. How? By the behavior of their wives. When they see, now look at this, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Now folks, he just defined, if you're paying attention, ladies, he just defined submission. He didn't give you a political or philosophical definition that fits your preference or anybody else's preference. He said you be like Jesus and you live a pure and reverent life. If you are respectful of God, if you're following Jesus, if you are pure and reverent in your life, men are going to, your husband may see that. That may win him. Does it guarantee he'll be won? No. He may be won, is the phrase there. Now, I watched it happen. Incredible example in my life. My mother married my dad just as he was getting out of World War II. They had loved each other a long time. He went off to war. He came back. They got married. And their love sparked four boys. And we grew up watching our mother, devoted Christian lady, loving God, trying to teach us boys to read our Bibles every day and go to church every Sunday. My dad was not a Christian at that time. He was not. He was a good man. He was a good man. Taught us boys how to work. Taught us not to talk dirty. Taught us to be good boys. Now, some of us didn't make it, but he taught us that, right? My dad went to church with my mom he got up every Sunday morning and helped get us ready to go to church. He would drive us to church. I remember times when my mother would be sick. He would still get us ready and take us to church. And we didn't just go to church once in a while. We went Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night Bible. We had Bible classes Sunday night. We were real Christians. You people just slacking. We Sunday night Bible class, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night prayer meeting that we didn't pray. Wednesday night prayer meeting we went. I mean, and my dad took us every time. I can still remember if my mom was sick, he'd still take us. And then, one Sunday, we lived way out in the country, and they still do. They live way out in the country, dirt roads all the way around. Got a lot of rain, couldn't get down the dirt road to the highway. My dad cranked the tractor, pulled us to the highway, parked the tractor there, drove us the long way around to church because the water, our little farm market road was underwater over at the Beck Gym, and he drove all the way from all the way around to Littlefield, down to Amherst, then back to Sudan to church. And then when it was all over, he did the same thing and drug us back home. That's my dad was that kind of man. My mother, I never heard my mother harp on him about the Bible, about Jesus, about church. And then one day my dad walked in from farming. He walked in the middle of the day. I believe it was a Tuesday afternoon. And he said, "Do you think Mark's dad, think old Art will be up there at the church?" And she said, "Yeah, honey, why?" He said, "I think it's time for me to become a Christian." Can it happen? Yeah, my story doesn't prove it. How do I know it can happen? God said it, that settles it. Story's nice. I love to tell it because it honors my mother and honors my dad. But the truth is, the Bible said it all along. I just want my husband to be this. I just want my husband to be that. Well, then maybe you ought to shut up and just live your life holy and pure. Now, there are no kids in here, so I can't get in trouble for saying shut up. But I have sometimes wanted to encourage women to stop nagging, stop harping, stop wearing him down, chewing him out. No. Get right. Be like Jesus and watch what happens. Well, he just doesn't understand. That's not your job to get him to understand. It's your job to be like Jesus, right? Now, there are extremes in all this, right? But if you follow Jesus according to your understanding of Jesus, you're at least headed in the right direction. Now look at this next part. It says, your beauty should not come from the outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. And around here, we don't have a lot of trouble with that, do we? Right. But I want you to notice that he's not trying to, and I've seen guys do this, he's not trying to pick on the way she's dressed. He's trying to say what matters the most is how she lives, how she is. Because he says, well, notice, it says it's not the outward adornment. And he talks about braided hair, wearing of gold jewelry, and fine clothes. So that means you don't wear clothes? No. It means instead, look what he says, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Is there enough description there to give me something? Wives, does it give you something to work on? I can focus on this. Yeah, but my husband is pig-headed. That's true. But if God can turn a dirt clod into a man, what can he do with a man who acts like a clod? Right? You just got to give him a chance to work through you. So you work on things like, well, what do you work on? Being like Jesus. And you work on purity and reverence. And you work on your unfading beauty of the gentle and a quiet spirit. Be kind. Be gentle. Now, I have watched it. I know how this works. When he comes in and he is crabby, he is a grouch, your response can affect the rest of the night. Now, guys, you know we're fixing to hear the second. We're going to turn this tape over. But the second side, the guy comes in, he's grouchy. Honey, what would you like for supper? And he says, what do you mean you're asking me what I want for supper? I've been working all day. Why don't you have supper cooked? I want my cook. What in the world? And if you let him, what will he do? Somebody tell me the truth. What will he do? He will pick a fight. And as soon as he gets you to react to him harshly or with any kind of sarcasm or any kind of anger, what does it do? It gives him justification to act like the jerk he's acting like. But if you don't do that, guess what? He's got nowhere to go with it. Now, he may rant and rave till he passes out at night. And when he passes out, have I got time to tell you all that story? I got time to tell you that story. This is an extreme. I'm putting this in here only because an extreme, and I may never get a chance to tell you this story if I don't tell you now. This is in extreme cases, because there are men that are not just momentary jerks, but are inside-out jerks. Yeah. Are there abusive husbands? Yes, yes. True story. Man would come in every night drunk. When he was drunk, he would start a fight. Then he would beat his wife, and she would call the police. And they would come, and then she wouldn't press charges. And it's not like it is today. They didn't just take you away anyway. They would, or the woman talked them out of it. Finally, this woman, he came in one day. He was drunk. He tried to start a fight to start hit her and stuff. She locked herself in the bathroom. He banged on the door, cursed and swore at her, and finally until he passed out. After he passed out, she got out. She got a blanket off the bed, wrapped him up in the blanket, took a broom handle, and proceeded to beat him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet with that broom handle. He woke up the next morning and never took another drink and never hit her again. Well, that woman's grandson became a policeman in Houston, became the desk sergeant. Over a period of weeks and months, a woman would call in. Her husband had come in, same story, drunk, beat her. Finally, the man had had enough because she would never press charges. The grandson of the woman who did this says to this woman, said, "Ma'am, you ought to do what my grandmother did to my granddad." And he told her the story. Well, he came home and she locked herself in the bathroom. He passed out. She wrapped him up in a blanket and proceeded to beat him. Well, she called him from the emergency room, said, "I did what you told me, Sergeant." Said, "I beat him, but I fractured his skull, broke two ribs, his clavicle, and one of his legs." And he said, "What did you do?" She said, "I couldn't find a broom handle, but I had this piece of pipe real handy." He thought, "My career is over, it's all gone." He tells the story. He says the man called him from the hospital and said, "I want you to know, my wife told me that you had told her what to do." He said, "I got to tell you, thank you. I will never take another drink and I will never hit her again. I never knew how bad it hurt." Now, I'm not advising that. I'm saying on tape that if you choose that approach with your jerk husband, I'm innocent. I was just telling you a story, all right? Probably should have paused the tape. Focus on your life. Focus on your heart. Focus on the way you are about things. If you don't react, sometimes it releases the pressure. Okay. Now look, it says, this way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Now look at what he says. Do what is right and do not give way to fear. Okay? Now, having said that, I'm going to say this, and we're going to move over to us fellows. We're going to flip the tape. When God created Adam and Eve, when God created that first family, He did that first wedding ceremony in Eden. It was intended, God intended for the woman to be a helper. Any definition, philosophically, politically, or preferentially, that gives you the idea that submissive means you cannot be helpful is the wrong definition. You were created by God to help Him. That means sometimes you have to let Him know there are some things maybe you don't understand and I need to explain them. Now how you say it does matter. As surely as His tone matters to you, your timing matters to Him. One more time. His tone matters. You talk about it. Well, it will use that tone. Well, sometimes your timing needs some work too, right? But it's okay for you to be His helper. Do not give way to fear. All right. Now, guys, look at verse 7. Husbands, in the same way. Underline "in the same way." What does that mean? You be like Jesus. And that should be enough said right there, fellas. If you treat your wife like Jesus would treat her, it will change a whole bunch of stuff real quick. And since God said in Ephesians 5 and some other places, and even implied in this text, that the husband is the master of the home, the head of the home, fellas, our wives should have an easier time doing what God asked them to do because we're doing what God told us to do. It's much easier to be submissive and responsive to a gentle, caring, serving, loving Jesus type fella than into Mr. Jerk, demand his own way all the time kind of fella. Husbands, in the same way. So underline that, in the same way. That means be like Jesus. Walk in His steps. But don't you look at that next phrase. That next word, I love, and I don't know when I started loving it, but I love it. Be considerate. What does the word considerate mean? What does it mean to consider something? Have it in mind. To think. But put it, just we'll stop there. To think about something. Guys, I'm serious. Most of us don't think, we act or react. We're impulsive. We are men. We trust our gut. That is in the old joke. The old joke about the guy getting lost and he won't stop and ask for directions. That is no joke, guys. I've been around. I'll drive. I know where I'm going. And if it takes us 4 hours extra, I knew where I was going. I got a shortcut there. Where do we get that stuff? We sometimes are very...
egomatic.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to be that mean. Yeah, sometimes we're very impulse driven. Guys, you got to get a handle on this. We've got to get a handle on this. God says we're to be thinkers, to be thinking. I need to be considerate of my wife. I need to be thinking. I need to be aware of her. Now, there's all kinds of things I need to think. I need to consider. There's some gender differences, okay? In spite of what part of our culture has taught us, there's just no difference between men and women. Yeah, there is. If I can remember, I was in college when there was this big push about you don't raise little boys with using little boy toys or girls, little girl toys. You just let all the toys be unisex toys. I'd do it. Just get boys and girls, little boys and girls, and dump a whole pile of those toys. And you know what the boy will do with it? He'll make it a gun or a hammer. Or he'll take a Barbie doll and make her a skydiver. I mean, there'll be something. And the girl, you know what she'll do with the hammer? She'll put a dress on it and rock it. I mean, girls are different. Boys, you know the best way to see it? You can see it in children. Go to the mall. Just go to the mall. And just watch it. Just the act of going to the mall. Okay? Husband sitting in his recliner watching TV. Wife says, I need to go to the mall. He's a good husband. He said, I'll go with you, honey. I'll drive you through that traffic. I will pay the bill. And he says, what do we need, honey? And she says, well, Susie needs a pair of jeans. Well, what size? Well, size... Now, this is impossible, but I have heard people, women have jean sizes zeros. You can't have a size zero, but that's women's vanity. They had to have a size zero. So we got to pick up a size zero for Susie. For Susie's got a size zero. She's got to have jeans. So husband gets in the car, knows the directions because he's got it in his gut. He knows directions. He drives to the mall. He walks in. He's a considerate fella. He opens the door for a wife as he goes in. He walks in to Penny's. The reason you go to Penny's, because that's where he used to work. Years ago. And he walks into Penny's and he walks over to the first table of women's jeans and finds zero size. And he wonders, he says, how can they have a size zero? And his wife says, oh, that's good that you found those, but let's go look some other... No. I am hunter. I am man. You told me to find jeans. I found them. Let me hit it in the head and drag it back home. Yes. Let's cook it over a fire and talk about how great we are. And then she drops that word that all men have hated since right after Eden, which she said, no, I want to shop them. Shop? What do you mean shop? Shop means let's walk all over the mall and look in every store, in stores that don't even have jeans. Let's look in those stores and look at everything else that has nothing to do with jeans. And then we pick those up when we walk out of Penny's to get in the car. After a 3.5 hour Cherokee Trail. You know what I mean? The Bataan Death Walk March. You watch it in a mall. Watch their faces. Women darting in and out. And they're chatting and they're having conversations. And yes, and they've got bags and they've got and they're doing this all with children. I will beat you when I get you home, but right now I've got to shop. And she's going everywhere. What's the guy doing? And the ones that have serious ability to differentiate themselves from their wife and really not care what happens when they get home, find a bench and sit down and said, catch me on a run through, lady. And they will sit there and watch. Sometimes you see drool on them, you know. There is a difference, guys, in gender. So you know what it says? Guys, be considerate of that. Understand your wife is not a guy. And fellas, you're glad of that. Amen. But what you want to understand, that means there's some other ways she's not like a guy. So you need to be considerate of that. Now, you may need some help learning that. Raised with three brothers. The only woman in our house was our mom. The only reason we kept her around is the cooking. I mean, I didn't know a lot about women. I had to learn some things. I needed a helper. You sometimes have to help him, ladies, learn what it means about girls and stuff. Guys, you got to be considerate. You got to be willing to learn that lesson. But now there are also some... There's not just gender differences. There are some personality issues. Right? There's some personality issues. There's some things that make your wife uniquely her. So you got to figure those things out. You got to listen. You got to learn. You got to figure her out. She may not want to go to all the football games. She may not want you to punch her in the arm when your team scores a touchdown. You've got to figure out what helps her. Now, if there's something that makes her afraid, you cannot just, oh, what's the matter with you? I can't even believe you're afraid of that. Are you kidding? You want her to do the same thing towards you? You want her to do the same thing towards you? Because there's some things you're scared of too. You just don't admit it. I ain't scared of nothing. Nah, I ain't scared of nothing. I'll run my head through that glass. It won't bother me at all. Yeah, right. There's some things you scare you. You want her to be sensitive to that. You got to be considerate, guys. You got to get to know her. That means we got to be thinking people. Now look at the next phrase. Be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. With respect. You talk to them with respect. That involves tone, y'all. I had to learn that. But tone is a big deal. And the same thing goes for you. When you walk in the house, and you're just had a wonderful, hi, honey, how was your day? What do you mean, how was my day? I had these kids, and I got to cook you supper, and your dirty clothes, and you're going to, wow. And I mean, it's a nuclear meltdown, and you're going. Now, you can, if you want to, you can say something back, but you didn't reach her dad yet. Don't go there. Do not go there. Don't start swapping off who did what and how long. No. But if you will not react, if you will be considerate, listen for things like words or slamming cabinets or growling under their breath. Yeah. Watching things, you know, you be considerate. Treat them with respect. Now look at this next phrase. Maybe I believe, one of the most misunderstood sections, phrases in all Scripture. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner. The moment we use the word weaker, women who have been either by preference or politics or philosophy been schooled in, I am woman, hear me roar. Do what with that word weaker?
I'm not weaker.
I can do anything a man can do. Man can't have a baby. He can't even handle that kind of pain. And I promise you, he can't. I've seen them. I'm serious. Women can have the flu, have an open wound, be dragging an IV around and still cook, clean, take care of the kids. The husband can get the sniffles and become a paraplegic. He can't become a quadriplegic because he's got to run the remote. Honey, can you bring something to eat? And he wakes her up. Honey, can you give me something to drink? Get out of bed, you lazy grope. Notice how I calmed down. Be considerate. This word weaker. Guys, here's the illustration. What's the difference between a crystal goblet and a milking bucket?
One's more fragile.
Which one of them's weaker? The crystal is. Why is it weaker? It's more valuable. It's more precious. It has been given to you with the intention of you taking care of it. Now, can she take care of herself? And I think women ought to have some of this taught to them. Yeah, you can take care of yourself. You don't need some guy to do it. You can get a hold of that yourself. But this weaker vessel means she's more fragile. She's more delicate. She's more special, more valuable. She was created by God with you having the responsibility to protect her. Okay? So guys, that's how you treat her. You treat her that way. You don't disregard her emotions. You don't disregard her feelings. You don't disregard her needs. You pay attention to that. Now, in this relationship here then, if the wife is concentrated on caring for that man and being considerate of what he needs, and the man is considerate of what she needs, what happens? It's a harmony. It's a song. It's a dance. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Now, are there going to be some times where there's some missteps? Are there going to be some discord? Yep, because we're still humans, right? That's why they wrote these words to us. But notice this. You treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Guys, ladies, that applies to all of us. We're heirs of this life together. That means we got something in common. And it's we're trying to get to where Jesus is. And the way to do that is to get in the step with Jesus and go with Him. Now, if you've got a mate who does not want to go with you, what do? You go. You stick with Jesus. Whether he goes or not, whether she goes or not, you go and stick with Jesus. Walk in His steps. Nothing will hinder your prayers. I got to wonder sometimes when we're fussing at each other, and being hateful to each other, disrespectful to each other, how we really expect God to pay attention to our prayers. Some man mean to his wife, some wife hateful to her husband, and before they go to sleep, they pray, "Oh Father, Lord of mercy, and God of love, and joy, and peace, fry him." How do we expect God to hear that prayer? How do you get through a day? Some of you have been in relationships. Some of us have been in relationships where the sins, our own sins, are you listening to me? Our own sins, or the sins of the mate, made it difficult to concentrate, difficult to keep walking with you. It put a strain on your life. So much so that It marked you, scarred you for a long time, maybe. Okay. If you're in that relationship now, walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Well, he just doesn't, she just doesn't, I know. But you stay focused on Jesus. You try and be like Jesus. You can't change him. You can't change her. Just walk like Jesus. And for those of you who are one day anticipating that, you know a good way to learn this is to start it right now in your dating and just in your living. Start to be considerate. Fellas, be considerate of women. Whether you're attracted to them or not, or whether you might think you might dating them or not, or whether you think you might ever marry them or not. No, be considerate. Start learning that now. I've told folks before, I said, ladies, go home with your husband-to-be and watch him with his mom over a weekend. And watch how he treats his mother. That will be something, you'll get a peek at something of how he'll treat you when you become the mother of his children. Guys, learn right now how to treat women. And then that day comes that some woman foolishly says yes and standing before God and says, I do. Then you'll be ready to be the husband that God created you to be. Ladies, same thing. Be respectful of men. Be appreciative of the things in them that make them men, that God gave them to be who they are. Be respectful. Be considerate. And then when the day comes and some guy wakes up and has enough sense to ask you and you say yes, and you stand before God and said, I do, you'll be ready, you'll be prepared to be the wife God wants you to be. Okay? Now, you understand, in all of this that I've talked about, this lesson was for me, right? Because I have failed in many of these. And now I've been given by God another chance to be this kind of husband. You can visit later to find out how I'm doing. But I'd appreciate it if you don't ask any questions. Just pray for me, okay? Melly, could you leave early? But it's not about me telling you what to do. You understand it's us. Guys, let's be godly men. Let's be like Jesus. And ladies, I have no idea what experience it must be like to entrust body, heart, and soul to a man. But be like Jesus. That much I do know for all of us. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you very much. I guess right now for your words, we need help with this kind of stuff. Father, we've been selfish and lazy and impulsive and irritable, distracted, been all a bunch of things, God, that didn't make us good partners, good mates. So we thank you for your teaching. We thank you for the words that you gave Peter for us. And I ask, God, that you help us be like that. We want to be like Jesus. We do. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, y'all.
Again on the group tonight.
We're in trouble.
Niece and my brother and my parents.